Shall we pray? Our blessed eternal Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude, Lord, recounting great and mighty things that you have done for us this past week. You have shown us your cares. You have shown us your favor, your blessing, shown us your deliverance. You have intervened in our matters. You have proven yourself to be our God, our provider, our healer, our savior, our shield and our buckler. We bless your name. Thank you for being the source of our blessing, being the source of our inspiration. We bless you for the word that you sent to us, Heavenly Father, to at this same time that you have enlightened our heart by, that through which we have come to know you and your program for the entire world, and the inclusion of each and every one of us in this your program. We are very grateful. We thank you for what your word is doing in the life of each and every one of us. For the most important thing is that this word to have effect upon us. Lord, drawing, making us ready, preparing us, and giving us more assurance in our souls that we came from you and that we are going back to you. We bless you, dear Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another privilege to witness another beautiful Sunday morning, the beginning of another week. We commit ourselves to you for the services of the day. We know you have your blessings in store, and dear Lord, our lives are in need of your blessings. We present ourselves before you. We ask, O God, that you will make yourself known to us again, because each time we come before you, it is your interest to reveal yourself to your people. Lord Jesus, may we not be left out. Accomplish this in our lives. Lord, increase our faith in you. Help us to know you better. Give us grace to surrender ourselves. Lord, inspire your word to our heart, Lord. And let faith mix with this word in our hearts, for that is the only way that we can be partakers of the blessing that accompanies your word. Thank you, eternal Father, as we commit ourselves to you, that you forgive our sins and our shortcomings, unbelief, our instability, everything about us that your word condemns. We present ourselves this morning, that you'll be merciful to us. Let your blood speak better things on our behalf. As we look unto you, Father, Lord God Almighty, that as we lift our cups up, may you fill our cups, Lord, to the overflowing, to the glory of your name. And at the end of it, Lord, every need, healing of the body, strength in the body, spiritual blessing, Holy Ghost baptism, Lord, grace to draw closer, hunger and thirst in the heart to be satisfied, every need in the heart of your people, in their lives, that you will graciously attend to them today. And that, Lord, we'll be leaving the church in the evening, going back to our various homes. Lord Jesus, our heart will be full of joy and gladness that we have met with our Maker. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. We welcome ourselves again to the house of the Lord. God's plan in our lives, giving us another privilege. We are grateful to him. We know it's not by power, not by might, but my spirit says the Lord. Your being alive, my being alive, is not because of any better things that we stand upon, nothing. But just basically because of his mercy and grace. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible this morning again to Revelation chapter 1 as we continue with the background to the revelation of the seven seas, close to the end of it now. Looking at the Laodicean church messenger, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, and then Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. All right. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. As we can be seated, please. God bless you. We once again appreciate the grace of God upon our lives, bringing us to this time. By the grace of God, as I said, we just about a leg out of this part. And by the grace of God, then we look at events surrounding the revelation of the seven seals. Before we go into this morning, let me just bring that before us. By God's grace, there were events that preceded the revelation of the seven seals. After the identification of the messengers of the ages, so the next thing we go to is those events that pointed to the revelation of the seven seals that the prophet emphasized. And the prophet told us that before anything happens on the earth, God first declared it in heaven. And so we do ourselves good to look at those things. We cannot just pump into the revelation of the seven seals, because it's a revelation. It's not an exposition. It is a revelation. It is not an exposition. And that was why there were many things pointing to it. People had dreams. Abraham himself had vision. There are so many other things and the rest of it pointing to that. So maybe just a week or two we'll look at that, and then we'll move on. Once we are able to establish that, and then we'll move on by the grace of God to the revelation of the seven seals. God bless you. I believe you are praying for me. How many of you are praying for me? Let me see your hands up. It's all right. I have Jesus Christ, the high priest, interceding for me. God bless you for praying for me. Thank you. Jesus Christ intercedes for every one of us. Yeah. So, without his intercession, our prayers will not be answered. Are you there? If Jesus is not on the throne interceding for us, our prayers will be futile, will be useless. If God is there interceding for us, that is why our prayers can be answered. Praise be to God. And he's the high priest of our confession. You know, he's the high priest of our confession. And that's the consolation that the believers have. And the prophet told us that he's there. He will not leave that throne until the last redeemed is claimed. And that's a great consolation to us believers. And we appreciate the Lord for that. God bless you. So this morning, I intend to take us through a few parts of the scripture, though not so many. Maybe just a scripture that I like to read, and then move a little further. But before then, I want to read from the Laodicean Church. Let me just read this part here. It was in the end time period, such phrase. It was in the end time period. End time is written together with hyphen in between. End time. Yeah. It was in the end time period that it was in the end time period that the seven thunders of Jesus came forth. Revelation chapter 10, verse 3 to 4. Remember, we are speaking on identification of the seventh church age messenger, the Laodicean church, the angel to the Laodicean church. As we have read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. We have identified the first six angel messengers to those churches, and so is this one that we are looking at. And the prophet is, you know, bringing these things to us. Revelation chapter 10, verse 3 to 4, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, and that was John, seal up those things which seven thunders uttered, and write them not. What was in those thunders, no one knows, but we need to know. Why do we need to know? God promised it. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. So, the voice of the seven thunders are mysteries. That's what the prophet is saying, we need to know. And he's not just saying we need to know. He identifies his office. He's able to know his office. And I tell you, as at the time of the writing of this, all right, let's move on so that I don't get ahead of myself. What was in those thunders, no one knows, but we need to know. And it will take a prophet to get the revelation, because God has no other way of bringing out his scriptural revelations except by a prophet. It has to start, we have to be well established on this. Granted, that the scriptures cannot be interpreted by anybody. Not even the five fools, even the prophet there. We only lean on the interpretation the prophet has given to a scripture. We can take scriptures and then align it with the thoughts of the prophet regarding the quotation. But taking the scripture in isolation and giving interpretation to it is a creed, is a dogma, is human idea and a human opinion. God did not vindicate such. It takes a prophet. And that is why the prophet told us that the first messenger of these seven churches, as we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, there, where Jesus Christ himself was saying, the seven stars on my right hands. They are the seven angels to the seven churches. The prophet told us that this, by virtue of his office, knowing who the messengers are, he has been able to tell all the six messengers. Will it be difficult for us to not know who the seventh messenger is? If a man tells us there are seven messengers and these are the six, and then he told us the vindication of the seventh, and we see the vindication in his life, would that be difficult for us to know that this is the man? It won't be difficult for us to know this is the man, because he has given us guardians, criteria that we are to follow. And he told us that out of these seven messengers, two of them are prophets. The five in between, that is the second messenger and the sixth messenger. Sorry, the second messenger to the sixth messenger are were reformers. They were reformers.
But the first messenger was a prophet because he had to go into God to bring mystery. Paul brought mysteries. That was why Abraham said that Paul was a prophet. And he told God also, in order for the mystery of God to be finished, then it had to be a prophet that would be the messenger of the last church age. Because God has no other way of making his will known to his people, only through a prophet. And that's even Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Yes, Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. You will also see that even in that Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, come back there again, you will see a corroboration of this Amos chapter 3 verse 7. You will see what it says there. Alright? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as what? He declared to his servants, the prophet. It was the prophet that also said it. That this mystery will be known. And how it will be known? It will be by a prophet. Because God does not reveal his secret to nobody but to the prophets. And so we are certain that the messenger of the last church age is a prophet. A major one. Major one that whatever he says cannot be subject to debate. He has the absolute revelation of the word for the age that he lives in. Because if you go back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 there, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, unto him, write, all the information that the age of Laodicea needs is written to that man. It's only him that has, you know, monopoly of the secret. He has the monopoly of the secret until he voices it out. Anybody who says it is saying it on his own. So it does not matter what anybody comes up to say. There are so many things you will see on social media talking about William Miron Braham and renouncing the message that he has preached and the rest of it. Doesn't make any difference. They can cover the entire internet. They could even be in the newspapers. They could be the news that we hear on the radio. People could plaster on their body as we're coming to the church. The elect cannot be deceived. The reason is because they, as God gives the word to the prophet to that age by revelation, he also gives the revelation of the same message to the elect by revelation. Amen. And it will take a prophet to get the revelation because God has no other way of bringing out his scriptural revelation except by a prophet. The word always came by a prophet and always will. That this is the law of God is evident by even a casual search of the scripture. It's a law of God, and God does not deviate from his law. That it is always to the prophet that he gets the secret known to. And then the prophet comes and relates it to the people. Amen. The unchanging God with unchanging ways invariably set his prophet in every age where the people had strayed from divine order. Don't get confused from what the prophet said here when he said he set the prophet in every age. I think you need to understand that. The seven messengers, they are not prophets. The first and the last are the prophets. But remember, there are minor prophets in between them who also hears the word of the law, but not scriptural interpretation. That should be differentiated. We should get that one very, very clear. With both the theologians and the people having departed from the word, God always sent his servants to those people, but apart from the theologians, in order to correct false teaching and lead the people back to God. Praise be to God. The prophet, so we see a church, a seventh church age messenger coming, and he is a prophet. Not only do we see this messenger coming here in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, the proof that he's a prophet is that he's going to reveal the mystery. Malachi chapter 4 said, "Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet." So many other scripture talking about showing that this person that is coming will be a prophet. Malachi chapter 4 establishes that. Revelation chapter 7 here established that. And then Revelation chapter 3 that we have read, verse 14 also establishes that, linking it with Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, linking it with Malachi chapter 4, everything linked together. You will see that the man that is going to bring the mystery of God at the end time is not going to be just any ordinary person. He will be a major prophet. Praise be to God. Not only do we see the messenger coming here in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, but we find that the word speaks of Elijah coming before Jesus returns. In Matthew 17 verse 10, you see, and his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus said, Elias truly shall come first and restore all things. You see, futuristic. See, shall surely come. Jesus Christ was not referring, was not repeating what they said. Shall surely come. He was speaking of the future. And he then went further to tell them, but I tell you, Elijah has what? Come already. You see, now let's go back to that scripture together. Matthew chapter 17. So that we will see that he lays in the domain of the prophet to interpret the scripture. That interpretation is because it is his ministry. He is fulfilling it. He has to identify it. Matthew chapter 7. Sorry, I want to open my Bible too. Chapter 17. From verse 10. And the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? What were they saying? You know the event that preceded this. Jesus was transfigured before them on Mount Transfiguration. Here was Elias and Moses speaking with him. Elias, which was Elijah. That's the Old Testament name of Elijah, is Elias. Old Testament name of Jesus is Joshua. Jude is Judah in the Old Testament. So you must know all those things in the Bible so that you don't get confused. Jesus was speaking to them. I mean, when he was transfigured before them, here was Moses, here was Elijah talking to Jesus. And after that, and the disciples asked him and said, why did they say that Elijah must first come? In other words, before you come, before you're coming, Elijah must come. Why did they say he must come first? Jesus Christ was now telling them, and he says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall surely. Elias truly shall first come and restores all things. Shall surely come. Oshimawa. Elias Shimawa ni to uto yoko wa. Lati wa muongogo pada bosipo. Restores all things. And when John the Baptist came, he did not restore all things. And that restore all things is linked with Elias shall truly first come. Talking about the future coming of that Elias again, which is linked with Malachi chapter 4. It takes Brother Abraham to interpret that and to show you that that is the messenger of Laodicean Church Age. Because he's the restorer. He's the one that will restore all things that Jesus Christ was talking about. So he's the one. So, and he has come, he has done the restoration. Part of the message that he brought is the revelation of the seven seals that is before us. That we're trying to look at. Because that revelation of the seven seals put the scripture in a better light before the bride. Everything that has been confusing in the path, the seven seas put them straight. Align everything together. If we are confused about anything that is taught in there, it's our revelation that is wobbling. We have to pray that God will give us revelation. God bless you. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. He said, but I say unto you, Elias is come already. And they don't know, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Now, there is no confusion here, because Malachi chapter 4 already told us, before John was born, that there are going to be two messengers coming. Two Elias coming. Not real physical Elijah, but his spirit will be upon them. Are you getting that? And Jesus Christ talked about the two of them here. The one that has come and they didn't know him was the one in Luke chapter 1 verse 17 that the angel identified to Zechariah, who was John the Baptist. But the one Jesus referred to and said that Elias shall truly come first and restore things is the B part of chapter 6, verse 6 of Malachi chapter 4, 5 and 6b. Are you there? Malachi chapter 4. And it shall turn, no. Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and terrible Lord. Elijah the prophet. He did not say prophet, Elijah the prophet. Okay, that was why the prophet told us it is the spirit of Elijah that will come upon somebody. God identifying person, God's chosen vessels. And that was why, okay, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Wait. This is the part that angel Gabriel quoted to Zechariah, identifying John the Baptist. And Jesus also in Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 told them there that verse 12. It's verse 12 that says that he has come already, but they did not know him. So this one that has come already that they did not know is the one in verse 6a of Malachi chapter 4. Are you there? He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. That was John the Baptist that Jesus Christ talked about in verse 12 of chapter 17 of Matthew. Is anybody confused? Is it clear? If you are clear, let's see your hand up. Okay, put your hand up. God bless you. If you are not clear, raise your hand sincerely. We are here together. Raise your hand sincerely. Nobody is indicting anybody. The essence of Sunday school is for us to have an understanding. Okay? We're talking about the messenger. Is that not? Maybe I should put it on the board, write on the board myself. Okay. I think that will be clearer. We are saying that the prophet was trying to establish to us that this man of Laodicea messenger must be a prophet. That the proof that he's a prophet is evident in the scripture. Because God has a law that he only makes his secret known to his prophet and to the prophet only. So the prophet went further to now tell us that this messenger of Malachi 4, this messenger of Laodicean church, will be a prophet because he is to reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders. Are you getting me now? So we are now tracing it to now know who this Elijah is. Who is this prophet? The prophet makes reference to Malachi chapter 4. Are you getting me now? So, we say that Matthew chapter 17, Jesus Christ told us of two Elijah. The one that shall truly come and restores all things. That will restore all things. Then the other one that has come already. And they didn't know him. They did not know him. Was John the Baptist. The Baptist. Are you getting me now? So we are now saying Jesus Christ in that Matthew 17 show us Malachi chapter 4. Are you with me? Jesus Christ is showing us Malachi chapter 4 here. Why did the scribe say that Elijah must first come? Jesus Christ said that, well, Elijah shall truly come first and restore all things. He said, but I tell you also that Elijah has come. Are you getting me now? And they didn't know him. They've done unto him what is listed, that will be done unto him. And then we are now looking at it that from here, Jesus Christ now refers us, from this scripture refers us back to Malachi chapter 4. Now let's go to Malachi chapter 4. So that Malachi chapter 4 also speaks of Elijah. Are you getting me now? The disciple asked Jesus that they said Elijah must surely come first. Elijah shall come first before Jesus. The disciple asked Jesus that Elias must come. Abi? And Jesus told them there will be two Elias. By this, that one has come that they didn't know, and one shall also come that will restore all things. When John the Baptist came, he did not restore all things. Which means there's another Elijah that must come. So that links us with Malachi chapter 4. This Malachi chapter 4 says, behold, I said unto you, Elijah the prophet, because it is here that the disciples were also referring to, that Elijah will come. Are you getting me now? So Jesus Christ now opened it up for them to show to them that prophecy of Malachi 4 has dual prophecy. That one part of it will be fulfilled, has been fulfilled, the other part is to be fulfilled. Like Jesus Christ himself in Isaiah chapter 61, fulfill a part of that Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. And he leave the remaining, which is not for his first coming, to be fulfilled. Are you getting me now? So Jesus refer us to this now from this Matthew 17. Telling us, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful of the Lord. He will do two things at two different times. Which is here. This Elijah came to introduce Jesus Christ. This one will come to prepare people for Jesus before he destroys the world. Because there must be restoration of all things before he will come and take the bride away. This restoration is the preparation of the bride. Restoring the pure world that will give eternal life to the bride. Are you getting me? So that is what this Malachi 4 is talking about. And when the angel visited the father of John, he singled out the part that John will play. He did not talk about the other part that John will play. The other part that the spirit of Elijah will come upon another person. This. What this one will fulfill. Are you with me? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And we see John fulfilling this in Luke chapter 7, chapter 1 verse 17. Let's look at it. He shall turn the heart of the father to the children. That's what the angel identified. Just a few more minutes. We'll clear this. Are you there for us? Luke chapter 1. And he shall go. No, let's read from 15. Let's take it further. 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his sovereign womb. It happened to John. And many of the children of Israel shall lead unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Nothing more. This other part that followed that, they have to do with the heart of the children. Turn the heart of the children and the heart of the fathers to the children. So he had to, that's what John the Baptist did. Angel identified the ministry of John. Are you getting me now? And that was why Jesus Christ was referring to here, that John has come and has done what he is listed for him to do. They did not know him. So, but he said, but Elias has truly come, which is the B part of verse 6 of Malachi. Let's go back to that now as we try to close. Go back to verse 4. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. John fulfilled that. And the act of the children to their fathers, lest I smite the heart with the curse. This Elias that Jesus Christ was referring to, that Elias shall truly come first and restores all things. So that is why the prophet called Elijah the Laodicean church age, he called him the Elijah the restorer. The Lord be our help. I leave us in the hand of the Holy Spirit for further revelation. God bless you. Let's bow our heads.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful today for sparing our lives to see the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that just ended and your care, our fatherly cares upon us. Thank you for the meetings, the services, Lord, the personal study and the consecration, the family altars. We are very grateful today. You started this with us in January, and this is the last day now of the month, 11th of the month, remaining 1 month for the year to end. We are very grateful for your protection, for your cares, for your goodness and mercies upon us, Lord. Our Father and our God, the message that you have sent unto us, we are very, very grateful, because you hide in simplicity and you reveal yourself in the same. The Elijah that introduced the first coming of Jesus Christ never went to school one day. And the one that had brought full restoration of the forgotten things that the churches had left behind, Lord, is not also highly educated. Lord Jesus, we are very grateful. As simple as the message is, we need your grace. May you help us, O God, that the simplicity of the message will be our portion. Thank you for your servant that you are using to bring this message unto us. May you strengthen him, O God, and may you help us to catch this revelation, the simplicity of it, O God, until we know who the messenger of the age is, that is the messenger, the prophet. It will shake our confidence in the things that he brought. But we recognize him, because you vindicated him. There is no man that we can compare with him, that can compete with him in our generation. We thank you, our Father. Your prophet told us, he said, Elijah's spirit will be manifested in five times. Elijah, the Tishbite, he came, the double portion come on Elisha. Then the one who we He restored the faith of the fathers to the children, which is John the Baptist, and the one who will restore the children's faith to the fathers, which is Brother Abraham, and Revelation chapter 11. Lord, we thank you because these things are simple. May you give us the understanding. Thank you, our Father. Bless the effort of your servant. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. The things that you have made known unto us, that they are to transform our lives and make us ready for your coming. Thank you, Father. Therein lays rapturous faith. Take all the glory, Lord. Take all the honor. Replenish your servant that you are graciously used. Try to establish us in the message of our day. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.